It's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
You're tuned to another edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC in the New York, New Jersey metro area and worldwide at mybradio.com. That's mybradio.com. And of course, on the 77 WABC app. Thank you again, New York. The Nielsen ratings consistently has us in the top 10 of New York AM radio. We thank you for your trust and confidence that week in and week out, we have amazing guests, as we do again this week. Oh my gosh, am I waiting to get to him. But you got to stay tuned for another minute or so as we build it, as we build them up. Of course, every single week, we interview C-level executives and talk about such a wide range of business topics, including retail, strategic planning, leadership, communication, social media, marketing and advertising, hiring, customer retention, and so much more. Stay tuned for tonight's edition of Mind Your Business, where you'll gain solid advice to get you ahead in today's business world. Well, as we do each week, we must open with some thank you. Special thank you to the entire team here at Bottom Line Marketing Group. In particular, Cerulli, Rina, Eliana, Miriam, Dina, Hoodie, thank you. And to the great folks at 77 WABC, James, Matt, Chris, Lexi, Justin, thank you. And of course, a special shout out to the various channels that Mind Your Business is syndicated on. Mishpacha Magazine, the monthly Take 5 column. They featured so many great episodes that we had. The interview I had with John Scully, Christine Comerford, Tom Cortese of Peloton, Shep Hyken, Chris O'Neill of Evernote, and so many others. We're also on C-Suite Radio, C-Suite TV, Audio Boom, Player.fm, iTunes, YouTube. Every single episode is available by going to mybradio.com. That is the platform that hosts every single episode that we've had. You can access the interview I had with Jason Robinson, the director of marketing at UPS, Steven Sadoff, former CEO of Saks Fifth Avenue, Jay Baer, Keith Mistrich, CEO of Amalgamated Bank, Chris McCann, CEO of 1-800-Flowers, Joe Hart, President and CEO of Dale Carnegie, Jeffrey Hazlett, David Colby of Colby Corporation, and so many other fantastic guests. They're all available by going to mybradio.com. That's mybradio.com. Well, without further ado, going to tonight's guest, I met him at a C-suite event, so special shout-out to Jeffrey Hazlett and the team. Met him in San Francisco. Michael Houlihan. Let me just give you some background, folks. Michael is the co-founder of Barefoot Wine, okay? That is the number one wine brand in America. He's then also the co-author of the New York Times bestseller, The Barefoot Spirit. And it, actually, that book is now required reading in more than 50 schools of entrepreneurship. Therefore, we encourage you to stay tuned for tonight's edition, where we're going to discuss so many different topics amongst how to take your idea and monetize it. Again, Michael will talk about it, ideation, the answers to the most common questions that every startup faces, and the Barefoot Spirits GPS. With that intro, we give a very warm welcome, Michael Houlihan. Michael, how are you?
Great, Yitzhak. Great to be here.
Thank you. Well, where do we start? You know, Barefoot is the... I don't know where to start because I heard you on stage, I heard you speak, then I heard you field Q&A from the floor where they were tossing you curveballs and you made them all look like grapefruits. You know, you were crushing them out of the park. I was like, man, this guy has the answer to... He's got answers to everything. I'm like, I want him on the show. I mean, we've had so many great guests, but like, we need people like you that, you know, not afraid to take on. So you're ready for any question I toss?
Sure, pitch away.
Okay. What's your social security? No, just kidding. Okay. Okay. Barefoot today is the world's, it's America's, I mean, it's worldwide, right? I'm saying you can get it
anywhere.
It's
the world's largest now, yeah.
World's largest brand. Wow. You started off in a laundry room. Talk about going from zero to a 1,000 miles an hour. You know, I don't know how to begin, but tell us, humble beginnings. How did it all come about?
Oh, it's so ridiculous. So I meet this girl. I fall in love with her at a rock and roll nightclub. About a year later, she comes to me and says, I've got a client who's a grower, a grape grower, and he's been selling his wine for 3 years to this winery. and they haven't paid them. Maybe you can go over there and collect. She knew that I was a business consultant. And I thought, geez, what kind of a gal is this? You know, I just met her. She's got me out chasing down 300 large, right? So I go to this winery. When I get there, the guard says, I hope you aren't here to collect money because we just declared a Chapter 11 this morning. And I thought, well, this is not a great day for the home team. So I went into the winery, and I was able to negotiate a trade for goods and services, the goods being bulk wine, Cabernet Sauvignon and Sauvignon Blanc in bulk, and the services being bottling services. So we didn't get the $300,000 that was owed, but we did get $300,000 worth of wine and bottling services. And I thought, well, you know, all we have to do is come up with a label, a marketing plan, put it in a big supermarket, flush it out, make our money. We're down the road. How hard could that be? 20 years later, we realized that building a national brand required a lot more than just looking at it from the consumer standpoint. You go into a store as a consumer, you see all the brands on the shelf. They're all dusted. They're all pushed forward. Everything is neat. You don't see what's going on behind the shelf. And that's what I found out. I thought wine was about, you know, sniff, swirl, and sip, say a few words in French, hold out your pinky, talk about mid notes. Forget about it. It was about things like forklifts and, you know, gruff buyers for big supermarkets that worked in warehouses and truckers. And they didn't care. I could have been selling hammers yet. So, yeah, it was a lesson, a tremendous lesson. But basically, we got started on a trade.
You know what I love about even this part is that all, you know, smart people learn something from any situation. We still have so much to cover in tonight's show, but already at this point is a great takeaway, and that is if you're ever negotiating in terms of collection, and you know, you got to be creative. And if there's something you're able to get in terms of services or product, even if it's something that at the present time has very low value to you, but at the end of the day, you're not going to get the cash. You just got to be realistic, you know. So that's a great takeaway right there.
Yeah, you take what you can get.
Yeah. Now, I don't have to tell you how competitive the wine business is. How did you, you know, access this extremely complicated market?
Oh, well, like I said, I thought, you know, how hard could it be?
Right.
The good news is, well, there are two pieces of good news. Number one, we were broke. We had no money. And number two, we had no knowledge of our industry. Now, most people would think that that would be a big deficit and hold you back. But because we didn't have any knowledge of our industry, we had to go out and ask questions, hat in hand, humbly.
Right.
And so we made friends in what we call low places.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the people driving the forklifts. Those are the people buying for the stores. Those are the people who are stocking the shelves. They're doing the work. And we, you know, not white collar people, mind you, but blue collar workers.
Right.
And we asked them, what's missing? What do you see? What do you need? What works? What doesn't work? And they told us stuff that gave us the basis to put together the Barefoot brand. I mean, everything from like the label, all that stuff. Because here all we had was goods and services. We didn't really have a marketing plan. We didn't even have a brand. One of the buyers said, if you're going to have a label, he says, make it easy to read, put it in plain English, make it so she can see it from 4 feet away. Imagine. Use lots of white space. You know, for God's sakes, don't put it in French. Put it in plain English. See? So just that all by itself is like a college education in merchandising. You've learned something really obvious. So we took it and we went to the next level and we thought, well, how are we going to get into this market? So we asked the top buyer in California. We said, hey, you're the top buyer. what do you need? What's missing?
Right.
He said, well, he says, what I need, he says, is I need a salt and pepper act. I need it better than Bob, cheaper than Bob, and I want you to put it in a pig. You got that? And I wrote it all down. I said, yeah, I got it. He says, can you do it? I said, yeah, I can do it. So then the next thing, and I'm walking out the door thinking, what the heck did I just stick my foot into? And I get about halfway down the hall, and he says, come back to me, you know, when you got it together, I'll take a look at it. I said, sure, thanks a lot. And I was down the hall, and I'm thinking, if I can translate this, you know, I probably just got a master's degree. So I did translate it. I talked to people in the industry. It turns out that a salt and pepper act was a red and white varietal, okay, you know, like pepper and salt, salt right, and pepper, red and white. Right. And then I found out that Bob, better than Bob, cheaper than Bob, was Robert Mondavi, the Robert Mondavi. Mm-hmm. So the guy was asking for a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then
yeah,
I said, pray tell me, what is a pig? And my friend said, oh, a pig, that's a 1.5 liter bottle. It's the big, fat, round bottle. Right. Everybody calls it a pig in the industry. I said, you got to be kidding me. So all of a sudden it hits me, and I realized that we've just been given the keys to the kingdom. He told us exactly where there was a hole. So the question is, how do you access a very competitive market? You give them something they don't have. How do you find out what that is? You ask them what's missing. They'll tell you.
It's such a great lesson.
Crazy.
Because this guy, he, like you said, he gave you the keys to the kingdom. And now, I would imagine that most people, when they were told that, without having the knowledge, like if they were in the same situation, they would just roll their eyes and walk away like, yeah, forget it. You know. But you said, hey, I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to learn what this guy said, even though I don't understand it at all.
Yeah, right. The guy says, can you do it? I said, yeah, no problem.
Folks, my guest this evening is none other than the one who built the number one wine brand in the world, Barefoot. And he co-authored the book, The Barefoot Spirit. In fact, one lucky listener is going to win an autographed copy, right, Michael? We'll autograph it?
Absolutely.
Amazing.
Absolutely.
An autographed copy of the New York Times bestseller, The Barefoot Spirit, How Hardship, Hustle and Heart Built America's Number One Wine Brand. So, folks, you're looking to scale a business, build a business. This is the book, New York Times bestseller. One lucky listener is going to win it. All you have to do is text over MYB to 64600. Again, text over MYB to 64600. One lucky listener is going to win the book, The Barefoot Spirit, an autographed copy. Good luck. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Hey, Joe, give me a minute. I'm going to run the numbers and circle back next week. Post it on Facebook, LinkedIn. Just get it up there.
You're great at what you do, and you're busier than ever. We get that. Imagine if you could devote every minute of your day to running your business and taking it to the next level. Enter Bottom Line Marketing Group. Bottom Line Marketing Group focuses on making your company look great, so you can focus on growing your business. To see some award-winning projects produced by Bottom Line Marketing Group, visit www.bottomlinemg.com. That's www.bottomlinemg.com. Or call CEO Yitzhak Saflis on his direct line for a free consultation at 718-412-3505. That's 718-412-3505. Bottom Line Marketing Group. Marketing solutions to grow your bottom line.
Is your business owed money? Are you frustrated with trying to recover past due funds and worried you may not get paid? At Ginny Debt Collection, we know dealing with debt collection can be a stressful endeavor. That's why we're here to ease your collection headaches and maximize returns. With more than 15 years serving clients nationwide, Ginny Debt Collection's comprehensive hands-on services help your business efficiently recover past due funds, improve cash flow, and develop strong customer relationships. Call us at 917-400-3253. Gain peace of mind knowing experienced collection professionals are helping you get your money back into your account in the shortest amount of time. Call 917-400-3253 for a free consultation. 917-400-3253 or visit GinniDebtCollection.com. That's G-I-N-I DebtCollection.com.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your company to the entire world. Was your website recently updated? Is it mobile friendly? Well, look no further than WebsiteWithBrains.com, the complete website solution. Call Website with Brains today at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500. Or visit websitewithbrains.com.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yisroel Saftlis right here on 77 WABC. And of course, worldwide at mybradio.com. My guest this evening is none other than the co-founder of Barefoot Wine. That's America's number one wine brand. Wow. Michael Houlihan. He founded it with Bonnie Harvey, and they also co-authored the book, The Barefoot Spirit, How Hardship, Hustle, and Heart Built America's, which is actually today the world's number one wine brand. It's a New York Times bestseller. One lucky listener is going to win an autographed copy. All you have to do is text over MYB to 64600. Again, text over MYB. M for Mind Your Business, MYB, that easy, to 64600. And one lucky listener is going to win an autographed copy of The Barefoot Spirit. Of course, it is available on Amazon, you know, Barnes & Noble, bookstores nationwide. Highly recommended reading if you're someone that is, has high aspirations. And who doesn't? Come on. Michael, again, thank you for joining me here on Mind Your Business.
It's a pleasure, Yitzhak.
Thank you. Well, again, let's talk about what you built. You built a national brand. I mean, now it's an international brand. It's quite an achievement. How did you gain and expand your distribution? And we're specifically talking about distribution now and how complicated that is.
Oh, yeah. Well, when we started off, we made a lot of mistakes. We thought, well, the name is Barefoot, right? What about Hawaii? Wouldn't that be great? You know, there's Barefoot on the beach everywhere. Half the bars are called Barefoot. It'd be a slam dunk. So we go over to Hawaii, and sure enough, it's a slam dunk. Everybody buys it. But guess what? They don't reorder it. A month goes by. 2 months go by. They don't reorder it. I go back. I say, what happened? They say, oh, well, it's sold through. I said, sold through? I said, are you through with it? They said, no, it's sold through. Nobody reordered it. I said, nobody reordered it. And so I went out and I went around with the salesman and we reordered it again. And guess what? 3 months later, no sales. Nobody reordered it again. So finally, we realized, my gosh, we got to have somebody in Hawaii that is policing this. And we realized, oh my gosh, we've got to have somebody in every state in the United States to police what's going on in the stores with the distributors and everything else. So gaining distribution for us was really learning the lessons the hard way, learning that we had to have our person there. Now, everybody in business knows the cost of goods, but how many people in business know the cost of sales? The cost of sales, that's what killed us. We had no idea how much it was going to cost just to get our product into a store in some place like Poughkeepsie and keep it there, keep it dusted, keep it priced, get it out of the back room, keep it on the shelf. And many times I would have to fly around the country myself and do it. So getting national distribution is really a function of starting off small, making your mistakes in a small place. Don't do like we did and shoot off to Hawaii, okay? Just do it in your neighborhood, in your city. Find out what you really have to do to support those sales. Do you have to police it? Do you have to make sure the prices are right? What do you have to do? Once you understand that, then you're going to know what the cost is going to be of sales as you continue to expand. So then stop right there and hire yourself a cost accountant, not a normal, general books accountant, but a cost accountant that will tell you how much it's going to cost you to sell your product in this state or that state. Now, this is a New York audience. I love New York, but I got to tell you, New York was the last place in the country to get Barefoot. You know why? Because it costs too much to do business in New York. We had to wait until we had enough money to do business in New York. And I'm really glad we did, and it really paid off. And I love New York, and it's a great place, but it's a lesson. The lesson is start small, make your mistakes in a small place, learn the cost of sales, and then expand very slowly, very carefully, one step at a time. Try to cash flow your way. Don't borrow a whole lot of money. That's what we learned. Wow. The hard way.
Wow. But, another takeaway that I just want to jump on is the story about Hawaii, because, the average person would say, wait a second, you would think, right? You would think that the retailer is interested. Hey, if it's sold out, he's going to reorder, like, duh, right?
You know, you would think so.
You would think. You would think. But instead of saying, you know, hey, you know, if he doesn't bother to reorder, you know, then I can't do business with him. He said, wait a second. This is what it needs. I need someone to be their boots on the ground and police it and watch it and supervise it. Hey, that's the name. I got to play the game the right way. You know, that's,
yeah.
Yeah, so important, so important.
It was a shock for us. We were shocked.
Yeah, I mean, I'm scratching my head. Wait a second. It's sold out. Order more. Hello.
Oh, my.
Man. Now, you also touched on, and you spoke about this in San Francisco, such a great point. I want to hold on to it, if I may. The cost of sales. And you again, it's such a fantastic point. So many people focus on, they understand the overall cost. Is, you know, we know the cost to turn the key in the door and the as the way the expression goes. But they don't focus on the cost of sales. And I remember you were talking about it because you said when a company figures out their commission structure and all that, they can't just look at, okay, you'll get a percentage of the revenue. Wait a second, there are other factors. There's advertising, there's the policing, the people that have to oversee this stuff. Maybe you could still expound on the cost of sales.
Sure. So let's say you've got to have a representative and he flies around in your territory. Well, there's airfare. How about hotels? How about rental cars? How about taking people to lunch? How about going out to dinner with them? You know, how about schmoozing people? Right. This is all expenses. What do you have to do when you go out and you have to make sales for your distributor at the retailers? You have to actually do their job for them. Who does that? How does that person get paid? What does that take? What about advertising materials in that particular area? What about states that have special laws, special requirements, and special taxes? That's all cost of sales. So the cost of sales in one state might be a whole lot less than they are in another. Like I was talking about New York,
right.
High cost of sales. South Carolina was the cheapest place to sell anything we could find in the whole planet.
You know what? I want to move now to mistakes. You know, you often speak about mistakes you've made. You're open about it. My first question would be, would you share your biggest mistake and how you dealt with it?
Well, I think the biggest mistake that I made, and I got to say a lot of especially young entrepreneurs make this mistake, you fall in love with your product. You fall in love. You start to believe the medals you're winning, the contests you're winning. You start to believe that because you have a high-value proposition, that the value is there for the dollar, that somehow it's going to sell itself. You don't put enough money in your budget to really make that sale and to maintain that sale. So this is the biggest mistake we made. We fell in love with our product. We said, are you kidding me? Gold medal winner for $5? It's a slam dunk. You know, there's nothing like it in the market. But no, it was an uphill battle. For one thing, we had to fight people's perceptions. If it's $5, it can't be good. You know, right. It's hard that's to right. give people a good deal.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. I mean, you see it with iPhones and other items. There's a ticket for a luxury item, and if you price it too low, like, I mean, let's face it, a hotel room. If you're able to get a hotel room for $59, then your first question is, what's wrong, right?
Exactly.
You know, so now, excuse me, when you were on stage, you also talked about the importance of learning from mistakes, and you had that dream line. I want to hear it from you, the one about, you know, not wasting that opportunity. What was that?
Oh, I believe that you should never waste a perfectly good mistake.
And
the thing is, we're all going to make mistakes. We make mistakes every day. The question is, you know, do we just wipe our hands together and say, it's not my fault, put your hands behind your back and say, don't worry, boss, it's taken care of. We can move on from here. Or, you know, it might have been a mistake, but I figured a way around it and blah, 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 I'm down the ramp. That's a mistake. The correct way to handle a mistake, we think, is to learn from the mistake. And what we like to say is make mistakes right. Now, right is spelt W-R-I-T-E.
Right.
Yes, it's R-I-G-H-T, write like correct, make mistakes correct, but beyond correcting your mistake, you need to write it down. You need to write down what the mistake was, what was the supposition or assumptions that were made that led to the mistake, and more importantly, and here's the key, what are the documents that need to be changed? Is it a sign? Is it a label? Is it a clause in a contract? Is it a checklist? Is it a sign-off sheet? Is it a job description? Is it a policy? Is it a procedure? What is it? And once you identify and start thinking about mistakes in terms of documentation, you'll be able to build your business on the backs of your mistakes because you're just going to get better. I mean, when we started our business, our contracts were 3 pages long. When we sold our business, they were 37 pages long.
Wow. Folks, my guest this evening is none other than the founder, I mean, along with Bonnie Harvey, of the world's largest wine brand, Barefoot. Michael Houlihan. He also co-authored the book, the New York Times bestseller, The Barefoot Spirit. It's available at bookstores nationwide and, of course, on Amazon. One lucky listener is going to win an autographed copy. All you have to do is text over MYB to 64600. Again, text over MYB to 64600. One lucky listener is going to win an autographed copy of The Barefoot Spirit, How Hardship, Hustle, and Heart Built America's number one wine brand. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Hey, Joe, give me a minute. I'm going to run the numbers and circle back next week. Post it on Facebook, LinkedIn. Just get it up there.
You're great at what you do, and you're busier than ever. We get that. Imagine if you could devote every minute of your day to running your business and taking it to the next level. Enter Bottom Line Marketing Group. Bottom Line Marketing Group focuses on making your company look great so you can focus on growing your business. To see some award-winning projects produced by Bottom Line Marketing Group, visit www.bottomlinemg.com. That's www.bottomlinemg.com. Or call CEO Yitzhak Saflis on his direct line for a free consultation at 718-412-3505. That's 718-412-3505. Bottom Line Marketing Group, marketing solutions to grow your bottom line.
Finally, a payroll service that does things your way. At Brands Paycheck, you're not a number, you're a partner. Brands Paycheck's personalized payroll solutions ensure that your business receives your financial information the way you want it. From complete payroll services and time tracking to benefits administration and HR solutions, Brands Paycheck helps streamline your business's payroll process and maximize productivity. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation. Brands Paycheck services a wide range of industries nationwide, including hospitality, transportation, B2B, B2C, nonprofit, finance, retail, healthcare, real estate, and more. Learn why companies nationwide rely on Brands Paycheck. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation today or visit online at BrandsPaycheck.com. That's BrandsPaycheck.com.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC, round the world at mybradio.com, mybradio.com. My guest this evening is none other than Michael Houlihan. I met him at a C-Suite Network conference in San Francisco. He founded, at the time that he wrote the book, The Barefoot Spirit, it was America's number one brand. Now it's the internationally recognized number one wine brand, and that is Barefoot. Wow. The Barefoot Spirit is the name of the book that he wrote, the New York Times bestseller, How Hardship, Hustle, and Heart Built America's Number One Wine Brand. An autographed copy is going to go to one lucky listener. All you have to do is text over MYB to 64600. Again, text over MYB to 64600. One lucky listener is going to win an autographed copy of The Barefoot Spirit. Michael, thank you again for joining me here on Mind Your Business.
You're welcome, Yitzhak.
Thank you. Well, sounds like you put your heart and soul into the company. I'm going to ask the question that I'm sure you've been asked 1,000 times, probably more. Why in the world did you sell it?
Well, that's a great question. You know, I listen to people talking about their businesses and saying, I own this business, I own this, I own that. And I'm thinking, you know, it owns you. You don't really own it.
True.
Because every day that you own it, it's asking you for more attention, more money, and more vision, more planning, thinking ahead. I mean, not that that's bad. It's very exciting. In fact, we encourage people to do that. It's just that when you get into business, you got to make up your mind why you're getting into business. If your idea is, oh, I always wanted to be the boss, or I always wanted to have my own business, you know, forget about it, right? There's only really one reason to be in business, and that is to build a brand equity to the point that you can monetize its value. Now, maybe that's going to take you 10 years. Maybe it's going to take you 20. Maybe you say, I never want to sell my business. But one day, somebody's going to knock on the door, and they're going to say, how much? And that's when you're going to say, boy, I wish I was, you know, dressed for success from day one. Where are all those records this guy wants to see? So what we did is when we got into this business, you know, we wanted to just transact that trade that we made for cash, pay off some bills, and move along. But it didn't work out that way because it took a lot longer to build a national brand than we thought. Not only that, but we realized about halfway through it that, for instance, at our price point, we had to be selling over 500,000 cases a year. In our price point, in our category, it's different for every price point in every category, in every business, and that's why you should go out to lunch with a broker and find out what your number is. But once you know what the metrics are that make you an acquisition target, you can't afford to choose goals. You already got a goal. The goal is you've got to become an acquisition target. So for us, it took us about 10 years to get to the point where we became an acquisition target. And then it took us another 10 years before we actually found the acquirer that we really wanted to sell to. Now, I couldn't be here talking to you today, Jacek, if the people who bought our brand ruined it, right?
I
have to thank them for taking it and taking it from a national bestseller to an international, you know, world blockbuster. Right. Thank you very much. But that wasn't just done without thinking. You don't just get acquired. You actually choose your acquirer. So for us, our whole journey was how long do we have to do this? How big does it have to be before we get the big check? And so that's why today when we work with businesses, the first thing we say is, when do you want to sell it? You know, 5 years, 10 years? What do you think? If they say, oh, no, I don't want to sell it, I'm going to give it to my kid, we don't work for them. If they say, oh, I always wanted to be the boss, this is what I like to do, we don't work for them. We just work for the people who are interested in monetizing their brand equity.
Amazing. You also talk about, I mean, that there's so many takeaways from that one. I'm going to leave it just as it is because it's, you know, so critical. But like you mentioned, there are some people that have other agendas, if you will. You know, like you said,
sure.
It might be a family. They see it as a family business for many years. Or
sure.
The person, you know, it's not on their radar screen to sell at the moment. You know, or they just get a high from it. It drives them. You know, I'm sure you meet many people like that. You know, let me ask you, how important is it for someone, and, you know, let me turn this question this way, because this really fits right into what you were talking about. Someone that knows that he has his eye on becoming that acquisition target, but it causes him, he's not putting his heart and soul into it anymore. He's like, he's going to sell it. How critical is it for someone that while they're holding on to it, they got to be in it head to toe? I mean, they got to be all in.
It's absolutely critical. It is totally critical. And I would even go further and say, you know, whether you want to sell your business or not, you should go out to lunch with a business broker and ask him what a business just like yours sold for recently at your price point in your category so that you understand what those numbers are. Also, you want to ask them, what kinds of due diligence did the acquirer ask for? And that's how you organize your own books. What does the acquirer want to see? And if you can't figure that out, ask yourself this question. What do I want to see if I bought another person's business? Do I want to see sales? Yes, I do, from day one. Do I want to see all their legal stuff? Absolutely. You know, do I want to see a sign-off on all their artwork? Yes, I do. Do I want to see disclaimers for every agreement that they signed or any dispute that they settled so that people can't come back on me? Yes, I do. So you start to think about your acquirer's due diligence, and you say, you know what? That's the way to organize my business. I need to have a file for every one of these things. And so that's what we did, and that's what we recommend to others. So that's part of putting your heart and soul into it. But as far as being an acquisition target, you got to run like you're never going to stop. You got to run and go for it, you know, like you're going to own it forever. Otherwise, you're just plain not going to do your best. You're not going to be able to solve the problems that you have. You might not even be able to make mistakes right.
Such great advice. Such great advice. My guest this evening is none other than Michael Houlihan. He built from the ground up, literally. No puns here, but he built it from the ground up, Barefoot, which is, of course, today's number one wine brand. He also co-authored the book, The Barefoot Spirit. It's a New York Times bestseller, How Hardship, Hustle, and Heart Built America's Number One Wine Brand. And, of course, today it's the international number one wine brand. That book can be yours. You can go out and buy it at bookstores nationwide and Amazon. But one lucky listener is going to win an autographed copy. All you have to do is text over MYB to 64600. Again, text over MYB to 64600. One lucky listener is going to win the book, The Barefoot Spirit. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your company to the entire world. Was your website recently updated? Is it mobile friendly? Well, look no further than WebsiteWithBrains.com, the complete website solution. Call Website with Brains today at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500, or visit WebsiteWithBrains.com.
Okay, so you're considering a comprehensive medical exam, but you haven't decided where. At Elytra Health in New York City, we know you have a tight schedule and that you only want the best. We also know you have choices to consider. Well, consider that you could have a world-class executive longevity exam at Elytra's state-of-the-art Manhattan Center for Life and Longevity, right in downtown New York City. Think about the fact that the experts at Elytra Health are a hand-selected staff with more than 30 years of experience in executive exams and concierge medicine, and that top doctors in the area refer their patients to Elytra. Something else to weigh is that cardiac imaging, cancer screening, labs, and all other testing is completed in a single five-hour visit with white-glove service. Plus, you'll receive the results, advice, and follow-up coordination before you leave. Finally, consider how easy it is to get peace of mind from an Elytra exam now by visiting ElytraHealth.com. That's E-L-I-T-R-A Health.com. Elytra Health. Well, above all.
Missed an episode of Mind Your Business? We've got you covered. Check out our YouTube channel, Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis, to hear interviews with business executives and thought leaders whenever and wherever you want. That's Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC. If you're just tuning in now, I have a simple question. Where were you? You missed some fantastic radio, but great news. As the listeners know, by Tuesday morning, this entire broadcast will be up on the archives at mybradio.com, mybradio.com, and you'll be able to hear this entire interview that I'm having with Michael Houlihan. Michael, this is just great. You're sharing so much. I mean, do people ever ask you, say, "How, you know, you're sharing too much? You share a lot."
There's always more that they need, what I find out.
It's unbelievable. And I understand that you work with startups. I mean, tell us a little bit about yourself today. And of course, you know, for anyone just tuning in, Michael Houlihan co-founded America's number one wine brand. Well, guess what? Today it's the number one wine brand in the entire world, Barefoot. Also, by the way, he co-authored the book, The Barefoot Spirit. It's a New York Times bestseller. One lucky listener is going to win an autographed copy. All you have to do is text over MYB to 64600. Again, text over MYB to 64600. One lucky listener is going to win the book. But now about yourself, Michael. So you work with startups?
Yes, I love to work with startups, especially young people. I want to help them not make the mistakes that we made. And you know, many startups they face the business world with common misconceptions that we as Americans have. You know, we're spoiled. We live in a first world country. Things seem easy. You look around. You say, "Hey, you know, how come nobody's ever thought of this?" Fact is, maybe somebody thought of it and it's rotten in a barn somewhere because they never got into distribution.
Right.
See, because the guy fell in love with this idea, and then when he went out and tried to distribute it, he found out that you couldn't sell it that way. He had to sell it online. Then he found out that online sales are a race to the bottom price-wise. Then he found out he wasn't making any money on the thing. So it wasn't that it wasn't a great idea. So I love to work with people who have great ideas. I like to be on their board of advisors, and I like to just sit there and say, don't do that. You know, that's going to cost you $300,000 and keep you 3.5 years from acquisition. So, you know, I made that mistake. Don't do it.
Right. Now, part of your textbook, if I understand correctly, about the advice you give to startups is the concept of ideation to monetization. Michael, take it away.
So ideation, coming up with a good idea. Okay, that's great. You hear people at parties, "I've got a great idea, right. You know. If I tell you, you got to pay me, right?" Or worse. But the idea is, it's not that simple. It's not that simple at all. You know, you come up with an idea. Guess what? You have to take your idea, and you have to wrap your idea in a product. Then you have to take your product, and you have to wrap your product in a brand. And then you have to take your brand, and you have to wrap your brand in a business. And then you have to build your business to the point that you become an acquisition target. Then, if you're lucky, you can actually get through an acquisition, you know, with everything nailed on, come out the other side with a huge check.
Right.
Mediation to monetization. Anything short of that, you're kidding yourself.
What other advice do you have for startups in today's, in the 2018 environment?
Well, I've got lots of advice for them, but, you know, the basic idea is that the death of bricks and mortar has been greatly exaggerated. There's no doubt that online sales are the fastest growing segment of the retail market. There's no doubt that it just blows our mind how easy it is to just push a button and have something delivered. But there's a good reason why big companies like Amazon would buy a grocery store. It's because they understand that people could pick their packages up there. In other words, they want people to go halfway. The cost of delivery is not free. So now we're back to old-fashioned retail, which the Department of Commerce said last year represented over 90% of all CPG brand sales. Okay, that's the products that you use every day, whether it's shampoo or wine or beer, it doesn't matter. Those are all CPG products. So here's the real message. Learn about distribution. Learn about how to manage your product after it leaves your barn. Learn the cost of sales. Learn what you got to know at every level of the distribution system. You know, people don't care about how great your product is or how inexpensive it is. They want to know, for instance, if a guy owns a distribution company, he wants to know, well, why should I take it? What's it going to do for me? You know, have you been pre-sold to a big retail store in my territory? Will it make me look more important? So he's asking a strategic question. He doesn't care about your product. Then the next guy you got to talk to is the salesman. Manager. He doesn't care. He just wants to know, are you going to help me make my numbers, right? So you have to say, yes, we have a representative who will make sales even if your people don't. And then his people, they're all coin operated. They don't care about your product. They want to know, am I going to make a commission, right? And then there's the retailer. He doesn't care about your product. He wants to know, will it move quickly? Right? Then you finally get down to the clerk. What does he want? He wants a baseball cap. He wants you to take him out to lunch and make him feel important, or he won't reorder it. So that's an example of what people who are starting businesses need to realize. They need to get sober about the fact that coming up with a good idea is only a very small part of the solution.
I want to get to the Barefoot Spirit GPS, but before I do that, A question about quality control. I'm sure you have what to say on it. You ran and you built the number one wine brand in America, Barefoot. Quality control. You know, how do you maintain that, you know, from one season to the next? You know, someone that came to like a certain label consistently will get the same experience with that label. You know, what's the secret to mastering consistency, quality control?
Well, part of it is your business model. So when we came up with Barefoot, we realized that the largest buyer for Tuesday night wine, for $5.99 wine, for everyday wine, whatever you want to call it, Vandetab, was a 37-year-old mom with 2.5 kids looking for a staple. Well, she cared more about spinach than she did about vintage. So for her, it was important that the wine tastes the same from year to year. It had to be high quality, but it couldn't vary. So for her, it was really important that it was consistent and dependable. So, or if it tasted funny, I mean, I couldn't say, oh, well, this year the elephants got loose in the vineyard, yeah, and that's why it's a little chalky. I can't say that to her because she's going to say, tastes funny, I'm done, and right, she's off to another brand.
Right.
So the secret really to quality control is to understand your market, understand what your market wants, and make sure that you can afford to offer them a product that is consistent. The other thing that we did at Barefoot is we not only had a winemaker, but we had a winemaker who actually studied to be a medical doctor, and she took pre-med, and in the process, she studied organic chemistry. So for her, she looked at wine on a molecular level. So she kept bottles of wine in a library from past cuvées from years past, and she'd break them out and match them molecularly to the wines that we were producing that day. And so that's why Barefoot maintained its consistent flavor profile. And I think that that's probably the reason that we were able to have loyal customers.
I know I said I'm going to get to the Barefoot Spirit GPS, but one more question I got to squeeze in because I heard you talk about it in San Francisco. Again, such a great point, and that was you were having a brainstorming session at Barefoot, and you were talking about the challenge of getting foot traffic to your aisle. And as a new brand, they shoved you in the back. It seemed it came from what, the secretary, or it came from the receptionist?
Came from the receptionist.
Can you say over the story, please?
Okay, so we get approved for a big chain store in Florida. I can't say their name, Publix, but right. Let's just say they got about 600 stores, so it's a big, big deal for us. But they put us on the bottom. So every quarter, we would invite our salespeople and our customer service people to come in, get on stage, get on screen, and talk to the entire staff about what the problems were they faced in the field. Mm-hmm. Well, one time, we had a guy get up, and he says, I got good news and bad news for you. The good news is we're in Publix. What's the bad news? So the bad news is they put us on the bottom shelf, and if we don't sell, 150 cases a month within 90 days, we are going to be discontinued from all of the Publix. Oh, my God, what are we going to do? Here we are. We're on the bottom shelf. Well, that's where everybody new goes. You start from the bottom, right?
Right.
So what are we going to do? How are we going to get noticed? So some guy wisecracks out, and he says, oh, we're Barefoot, right? We'll just get the foot traffic. You know, ha, 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 the horn blows. Then somebody else says, oh, wait a minute, that's not so crazy. You know, why don't we have these decal footprints that are wine-stained that lead the customer from the door to the place where the Barefoot is on the bottom shelf? And we thought, well, that's amazing. Let's do that. Well, this was the receptionist, right? So a lot of people in business, they think, oh, the receptionist doesn't need to know, or the secretary doesn't need to know, or the IT guy doesn't need to know. Well, she obviously needed to know because we used that solution in every store in the country for years. And when you walked into a store, you probably see some feet on the store in New York right now because they're hard to get
Unreal. Up. Unreal. Unreal. What a great lesson. What a great, and to seek out and, you know, advice from everyone is valuable. From everyone. Amazing. Well, we got to get to Barefoot Spirits GPS. What is that all about?
Okay, so just like GPS in your car, you put in the address and it takes you there. Mm-hmm. We thought, well, what about a GPS in your business? Only it would stand for Guiding Principles for Success. Mm-hmm. Now, when we speak, and we've spoken at over 70 schools that teach entrepreneurship, we get two questions. The first question is, well, how do you handle the unknown? Okay, right. That's a good question. Right. And the other one is, how do you keep going when you get hit in the face with a brick wall? Yeah. Well, these are both can be answered if you have the right tools. Now, you don't take your ship out on the ocean unless you got a depth finder, unless you got, you know, sonar, right. radar, weather reports, all this stuff before you go out there because you don't know what you're going to be up against. Right. You got to have maps. You got to know where the shoals are. You don't want to run it aground. You got to know where the storms are. Right. So you can't know that, but you can prepare yourself. So that's what the GPS, it's a set of 20 guiding principles that we have found and identified that really help you make better decisions. And in the final analysis, success in entrepreneurship is making more correct decisions than incorrect decisions. Mm-hmm. And so what are the standards that you hold up against your decisions when you're looking at your decision and saying, do I go this way or do I go that way? Well, you hold up this set of standards and you say, well, the standards say I should go to the right here. So you go to the right. Turns out to be correct most of the time. So this is what we've done. We put together the 20 guiding principles for success, and you can find them on our website.
And again, the website that we're referring to that they visit
is the www.thebarefootspirit.com, just like the book.
Excellent.
Thebarefootspirit.com.
I have one more question before I get to my final question. Two more questions left because time flies here on the show. I mean, we're running low on time. Before I get to the questions, I want to remind the listeners that one lucky listener is going to win Michael's book, The Barefoot Spirit, How Hardship, Hustle, and Heart Built America's Number One Wine Brand. That's, of course, Barefoot. It's a New York Times bestseller. All you have to do to to be in that sweepstakes, if you will, to get the autographed book is send over a text over MYB to 64600. Again, text over MYB to 64600. One lucky listener is going to win the book. Michael, I understand that there's something new that you're involved with. Are you allowed to talk about it?
Uh-huh. Well, I am. And,
you said, you said I could ask you anything.
Yeah, you can ask me anything.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So, yeah, we are into something new and exciting. You know how business books can be boring. Here's the three things you got to do, the five things to right. never do, and the 28 things your customer wants from you. Yeah. They're very prescriptive. We talk to 24, 25-year-old millennials, and they say, you know, we don't like being patronized. So I said, well, what do you guys like? And they said, well, what we like is stories. You know, you don't have to browbeat us. We'll pick up the point. You know, just give us a story. We want to see some kind of a dramatization of what you're talking about. And it's interesting because if you take a look at the lexicon today, they're not even saying they're going, they're not saying, mm-hmm. and they're not saying they're like saying. Mm-hmm. But what does that really mean? They're talking about dramatizing, and they even do when you watch people talk, they dramatize how they felt when they tell you something. So we thought, well, why not take that idea into a business book? And we didn't have to look any further than 1940s radio shows, you know, and even Prairie Home Companion more recently, where they had radio skits. And so what you have is you have different actors playing different parts, so you hear different people's voices, and you can identify, oh, that's so-and-so, oh, that's so-and-so, there's the buyer, that person is the customer, this person over here is the salesperson. And so you see the skit, you hear the skit, but you see it in your brain. Mm-hmm. Everybody's on earbuds today, right. So we thought, well, let's make an audiobook that's not just a boring transcription by a narrator. So they're not just reading the book to you in your ear while you're driving to work or jogging, but you're listening to some kind of a dramatic adventure. Hmm. And it's a series of these events that take place, and you can draw business conclusions out of them. So this is our idea, and we put up the Barefoot Spirit book, which was written as a series of adventures, as the guinea pig, really. So we're going to be trying it out with the Barefoot Spirit. It's going to be out in the fall. And hopefully we'll be out in time for the Audie Awards. That's the AUDIE Awards. They're like they're like the Oscars for audiobooks.
Okay.
And you know, they have awards for narrators. We hope that they actually have a book for dramatic business books, or what we call business theater.
Fascinating. Fascinating. So it's around the corner. We're talking a month or two away.
Very exciting.
Wow. Michael, I can't thank you enough for joining me here. I'm going to ask now for a final takeaway, even though you could share probably a few thousand. But if I had to pick, if you had to pick a final takeaway, what would you share with the listeners of Mind Your Business?
I would say it's okay to be underfinanced. It's okay to be underknowledged. You must ask questions. Don't be afraid to make mistakes. Make your mistakes in a way that teach you a lesson. Write them down. And make your mistakes in a small place so you can run around and apologize to everybody in one day from your house. You'll learn so much. You'll get your act together before you take your show on the road.
Folks, I'm going to add one more thing. Tuesday morning when this show is up on the archives, listen to it a couple of times. Michael, oh, wow, what an amazing show. But, folks, we're out of time, so I just have a couple of seconds left to say that tune in again next Sunday night for another great edition of Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Safliff. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday night for this intriguing weekly radio show that's chock full of business insights and marketing strategies that will help you get ahead of the game. Host Yitzhak Safliff has been producing pioneering and creative marketing work for over two decades. He leads a team of marketing experts who help their clients build their brands and grow their businesses. Now, he and his guests offer their business and marketing expertise to you every Sunday night on Mind Your Business.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.